As was mentioned earlier, certainly thankful that you all are here today. It is great to see you, and I am encouraged by your presence today. We do have some, and I would guess there may be more to come, that are trying to avoid some of the maybe catching of this virus or certainly spread any type of germs that they may have. And so not only now do we want to welcome you all, but I'd like to welcome those who are watching us on live stream that aren't able to be with us today. These times are wild, man. I've never in my life been a part of anything like this. As far as what the epidemic is going on, the pandemic, I guess is what it's called, and the concern, the anxieties, the fears, the closings, the cancellations, the everything else. And listen, hey, we may make some adjustments, but we will not cancel the church. The church will never be canceled, okay? Remember in Matthew 16 what Jesus Christ said. He said, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. That means nothing is going to prevail against the church. And so we're going to use this to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We spent last hour as we gathered together in Bible class, and again, we do everything to God's glory, but the President of the United States declared today a national day of prayer. We spent our entire Bible class praying to get rid of this virus, praying for those who are being affected, those who have lost loved ones, praying that it would be with our first responders, our doctors, our nurses, our law enforcement, our military, all those that may be having to help out in this and put themselves in danger every day. We talked about our country. We talked about our leaders. We talked about our church. We talked about our families. We prayed for revival. And so as we are gathered here today with all that going on, I ask that we focus now on us. Focus on where we are spiritually. You know, I almost punted. On times like this, when things happen in our country, when events happen in our country, a lot of preachers punt their sermons and they preach something. I guarantee you, you can watch services today and there's going to be people that talk about the coronavirus versus sin. That sermon is going to be preached, I promise. And I'm sure it will even here, and we'll talk about it. But today I'm going to stick with what I plan, and that's what's on the board. We're going to launch out into the deep. Because when I got to thinking about it, well, what would be an appropriate sermon? I can't think of anything more appropriate than how we're going to deepen our faith in God. That's what today is about. It's about coming together. It's about worshiping God. We come together to draw near to Him. When we draw near to God, guess what? He draws near to us. That means He hasn't moved. We're just getting closer. His radiance, His power, as George mentioned, is just radiating through our bodies. And so with that, we are able to grow. We're able to strengthen. Bubba mentioned the beautiful spring weather outside, and I am so appreciative of that. By the way, warm weather is going to help with this. And so there's a lot of things in our corner to get rid of this virus and to get rid of this junk. But the fact of the matter is we're talking about growth this month, and so our theme being focus, what I want us to do today is focus on our faith. Focus on our faith. You know, if we're going to be the disciples that God wants us to be, desires us to be, that requires us to be, then it's going to require our faith to not be shallow. Shallow faith equals weak Christians. Deep faith equals strong Christians. I want to be strong. I want to be on God's side. I want to be what He wants me to be. I want to be a follower of Jesus who launches out into the deep. With that, turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 5. Maybe you're already there because it's on the board. Let's read together verses 1 through 11. This is a great section of Scripture here. Luke chapter 5, 1 through 11. So it was, as the multitude pressed about Him, of course that's Jesus, to hear the Word of God, that He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them, were washing their nets. Anybody that knows anything about fishing, you've been deep sea fishing, you've been out doing that, it's been a long day. Those of y'all who've been, you know. You've had a lot of fun out there catching your fish, catching your limit, whatever, but the work has really just begun. Because when you come in, you got to spray it down, you got to clean it, you got to get all the salt off, you got to get all these things off. At least, though, if you do that, you've caught some fish. Peter and him haven't caught any fish. So this has been a bad day for them. Verse 3, then he, Jesus, again, got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. Can you imagine that? This guy just comes and steps in your boat after you hadn't caught any fish and you're washing your nets and you're feeling sorry for yourself. And you're like, man, what are you doing? And he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Jesus got, hey, he told him, hey, take your boat out a little bit. Well, Peter did. Simon did. He goes out and he does that. Verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out. This is, of all the verses in this passage that's significant, you need to memorize or underline this one. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Now, not only are they feeling sorry for themselves probably because they hadn't caught any fish. Again, that's their livelihood, not just to fill their bellies. Now they're tired. They're exhausted. They fished all night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. And their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now see, this lesson is pretty powerful. I think we recognize it as the call of the disciples, the call of Peter and the call of James and John. They became some of the first disciples. Remember, Andrew brings Peter to Jesus, and Jesus goes to work on Peter, Simon here in this instance. And so, with that, we get our minds wrapped around, wow, this is a pretty powerful story. Let's tell it in Vacation Bible School. Let's tell it, in Sunday School, in Outdoor Bible, wherever else. And we told this story, and we told this story, and we told this story. And I think this is a very powerful story to talk about discipleship. But I want to use it today to talk about faith. And I know you could say those go hand in hand, and I agree, they do. But at the end of the day, what we've got to understand is in order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we can't do it shallow. We can't be shallow. In order to stand under the wings of protection, as we read in Psalm 91 in Sunday school this morning, we can't have a shallow faith. It's got to be strong. So today I want to give you 5 points of reference in this lesson that I believe will help us launch our faith into the deep. And here they are. Number 1, if I want to be a true disciple, a true faithful follower of Jesus Christ, rooted in deep faith, then I've got to step away from the norm. Do you know this was Peter's pivotal point of his life? And he had an option. Now I want you to see the scene in your heads. Peter had an option to do. He had fished all night. FYI, Peter knew fishing. Maybe he knew who Jesus Christ was. I'm sure he didn't just let some stranger get in his boat and take him out, right? I'm sure he knew Jesus, who Jesus was. Who was Jesus? Well, the way Peter thought, remember, we talked about last week, we talked about getting our minds off surface things and getting them out of this world into our spiritual lives. I want you to hear me now on this. So Peter right now is thinking surfacely. Remember when we said, hey, who are you? Well, I'm Terry Cagle. I'm the preacher at the Zoe City Church of Christ. Well, that's what I do. That's not who I am. Okay? Peter, though, is thinking that way. Who are you? I'm a fisherman. Who is Jesus? He's a carpenter. That's the way Peter looks at Jesus, if he knew Jesus. And so, as he looks at this carpenter, think about in his mind, what is he going to say? Suppose you're a carpenter, and this preacher comes up and tells you that's not the way you need to build that house. You're going to feel the same way Peter did about Jesus. What do you mean, tell me what to do? I am the fisherman. You are the carpenter. Maybe you can build my boat, but you can't teach me how to fish. I know how to fish, right? Isn't that the norm? That's the norm. That's where culture is. That's where society is. That's the norm, right? And so his options were, hey, I know how to fish. I know what I'm doing. We didn't catch anything. We fished all night. The norm is, I'm about to pack it up and hope for a better day tomorrow. That's the norm. That's comfort. That's where we all feel the best. Well, guess what? In order to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, I must step out of the norm. I got to step away from what's normal. There's nothing normal about what we're doing today if you go out and talk to a bunch of people that the news media would interview. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about right here in the heart of the Bible Belt. Let's get outside the Bible Belt and go ask people today, are you going to go and worship? No, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That coronavirus is out there. I'm not going to go do that. The norm is I got to social distance myself. Again, I'm not talking about being smart, guys. Understand. I'm talking about those people that just, this would be an afterthought. This might be something that we would do once a year. See, that's the norm. But if I want to have a rooted, deep-rooted faith, then I must step outside the norm. Again, pivotal point for Peter the rest of his life. It is a well-known fact that in the Sea of Galilee, where they are, I know it said Gennesaret, but they're at the Sea of Galilee, fishermen caught fish at night in shallow water. Think about that. They caught the fish in the Sea of Galilee at night in shallow water. Not in full daylight, in deep water. When Peter chose to place his faith in the powerful words of Jesus, his life would never be the same. But you know what we oftentimes do? We sit on the dock, attempting to catch fish in shallow waters. If I'm going to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, I can't stay in the shallow waters. There are so many people crumbling today because their faith, if they have a faith at all, is very, very shallow. I held that unleavened piece of styrofoam, bread, in my hand while George was talking. And it just crumbled. It just crumbled. Well, then I thought, well, hey, it's broken bread, right? Anyhow. But it just crumbled. And I got to thinking about Jesus' body. Jesus' body on the cross was beaten, it was broken, but it didn't crumble. It didn't crumble. Jesus didn't have any broken bones, but he had a broken body. Now, he was lacerated and he was torn up and all that, but it didn't crumble. You see, the church may be attacked, but we are the body of Christ. We will not crumble if our faith is where it needs to be. Shallow faith crumbles. The deep-rooted faith, you can't shake it no matter how much the devil tries. Number two, as I continue in this story, if I want a deep-rooted faith, if I'm going to launch out into the deep, then I've got to step out of my comfort zone. This is a big one. Remember, where Peter was, who he was, and the circumstances that are going on in his life. You see, our greatest obstacle, perhaps, in seeing the power of God is our own apathy. We feel too sorry for ourselves, too comfortable in who we are, too apathetic in where we stand. We generally do what we want to do. We generally do what we want to do. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'm just saying, whether it's a vacation, hey, we'll go get another credit card if we have to. We'll go get this. We'll go second mortgage the house. We're going to do what we want to do. Most of the time, we want to do it, though, and not leave our comfort zones. I don't want to do that because it doesn't make me comfortable. I feel anxious inside. I feel nervous inside. That's outside of who I am. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. It is uncomfortable to talk to someone about Jesus Christ in today's culture because that's not who you are. But guess what? When you submitted your life in the waters of baptism, He said, quit being surface, shallow Christians. You gotta step out of this world. You gotta think eternal. You got to think the way He wants us to think. In today's accommodating culture, we are willing to dabble in service for the Lord. Perhaps we might even wade out a little bit to the Christian who's next to us. The way I think about that is today, the person on the pew with us. Yeah, I show up, I worship, I do these things, and I might reach out and check on the person that sits on the same pew with me. But most of the time, Christians insist on staying on the shore. I'm talking about shallow Christians, okay? It's one thing to receive Jesus into our lives. It's another thing to wholeheartedly follow Him as a disciple. Getting baptized, accepting Jesus Christ, is not real hard. It's really not. I mean, you don't have to do it in front of everybody. You can do it at your own convenience. Somebody immerse you in water. As long as you can go under the water and you can come back and you can hold your breath or hold your nose one, it's not really very uncomfortable. I know you could make the argument, well, it's uncomfortable here, this is what I'm saying. But you can do it and that's not really uncomfortable. It's not like He said, hey, cut off your pinky finger to follow Jesus Christ. That'd be uncomfortable. That'd be hard. He said, just go underwater. The hard part's when you get out. The challenging part's when we get out. Because if I get baptized, that's not real hard. Being a disciple requires my faith to grow. It requires me to be uncomfortable at times. Moving into deep water requires a full commitment. It means you weigh an anchor and set your sails to catch the wind. It means you leave the shallow waters behind. That means you fully surrender to the direction of the captain. In the murky waters of shallow Christianity, sometimes we lose focus. We forget the very purpose of ministry. You know what the purpose of ministry is? To preach the gospel. That is our purpose. In the shallow waters, we can get real busy. Please hear me out on this. I think of anything, if I'm going to look for a silver lining in a coronavirus, it's going to slow us down a little bit. It's going to make families be at home a little more. It's going to make us think a little deeper. It's going to make us understand things that really, really matter at the end of the day. In a church, we can get a lot of programs growing. And listen, I believe we've got a good number of programs here. But we are a busy church. We really are. Before all this started today, let me just tell you about our teenagers. They were going to have class this morning. Just our teenagers now. That's not everybody in the church. It's just one group, right? They were going to have class this morning, worship now. They were going to have lads and leaders. Some would be a part of that. They were going to plant a garden, and then they were going to go in an area wide. Before all this happened, that was what they were going to do just today. You see, that's busy. Now, that's good stuff. It's busy. We as a church can get busy, and it's okay to be busy, but sometimes if we're not careful and we're shallow, we feel comfortable because we just generated a full array of programs, but we haven't caught one fish. We fished and fished and fished in these programs thinking they're just going to jump in the boat. Let me tell you, guilty as charged. I have prayed. I have prayed plenty of times. Plenty of times. God, send people to this place. Bring people to Azalea City today that need the Lord. And I still think that's a good prayer, okay? But that's catching. That's not fishing. He said, be fishers of men. That means I got to go out and I got to launch out and I got to reach out into the deep. You see, our ministries, if we're not careful, can become more about service than about reaching lost men and women with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. According to the Barna Group, I mentioned them last week, there was a nationwide research, organization. 3 out of 4 Christians in the United States, that's 75%, will share their faith only through lifestyle evangelism. That's an approach void of direct verbal witness to the lost around them. 75% of Christians will only reach out to people by the lifestyle they live. Only 30%, that's less than one-third, said they personally share share the plan of salvation with someone else on a regular basis. With statistics like these, is it any wonder that American Christians have grown stagnant and cold with little sparks of revival? You see, we can't lament the state of our nation and the multitudes of lost people around us if we're not willing to roll up our sleeves, hoist the sails, and launch out into the deep. Thirdly, this morning, that means we've got to step away from shallow thinking. Peter said, Master, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing. Really, Jesus? Again, you're great at carpentry. You're a marvelous teacher. But how about leave the fishing and those decisions to me? Fishing is my specialty. You see, what Jesus had asked Peter to do was contrary to all of Peter's training and all of his experience. Shallow thinking, right? Contrary to everything Peter had ever done. He said, I want you to launch. No, Jesus. You catch fish in, I know these waters. You catch fish in these waters at night in the shallow waters when they come up. Daytime, deep waters, uh-uh. But there's something interesting that happened. In this, Peter said, nevertheless. Nevertheless, I'll do it. Have you ever, well, if we're one of those 70% that aren't telling people about Jesus, you haven't had this happen. So we got to be out of that 30%, right? Or we got to be in that 30%, and we got to make that 30% the 100% if we're going to grow the church. But you talk to somebody and you just finally say, man, what's holding you back? They've got all this nervousness, right, about stepping out and stepping up. And I've told people all along, hey, you don't have to know the exegetical explanation of the book of Revelation to be a Christian, okay? You don't have to be fluent in Hebrew and Koine Greek. You got to know Jesus Christ. You got to know water get you into Jesus Christ. Being immersed gets you in. Once you know that, you can do what's holding you back. And finally, they're just like, I don't know, I guess I'll do it. That's what Peter said right here. I guess I'll do it. Yeah, all this doesn't make any sense, but hey, you know what? You want to go out on a boat ride, on a sailboat ride? Let's go. Maybe they paddled out there, but anyhow, they got out there. And it gets me to thinking about this. God often doesn't intervene until the task is humanly impossible. Think about that. We're facing some things that seem humanly impossible, maybe. God loves impossible odds. He loves them. He loves them. Gideon and the 300, right? Think about that. Thousands of people he had to fight. God said, you got too many. Send them home. Then he said, test them. See how they drink the water. He got down to 300. And God had a great victory. David and Goliath. We know that story left and right. Impossible odds. The walls of Jericho. The craziest thing on the planet as far as a battle strategy. March. Once a day, 6 days, be quiet, 7 times on the 7th day, and then make all this noise, and those walls are just going to crumble. Impossible odds. I like this quote. There's no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. Discipleship is not a life of logic or reasoning. You got to understand that. Being a disciple or follower of Jesus Christ is not a life of logic or reasoning. It is a life of faith. It's a life of faith. When we are willing to follow Christ into deep, unfamiliar waters, we then, and only then, will have closer fellowship with Him. This simply comes out of the complete reliance upon Jesus Christ to meet every need and guide us in our every way. You see, it's out in the deep water where we learn how to trust and we learn how to pray. The next thing we need to see in all this is if I'm going to keep following Jesus Christ, then I got to step into His words. Peter said it this way, at your word, at your word. Peter knew every reason, some of them were even good reasons, not to obey Jesus. Logically, Peter had a lot of reasons, and some of them are legitimate good reasons. If you think earthly, if you think shallow, for him not to obey Jesus. But under the direct command of Jesus' words, Peter turned from his logic and staked everything on the word of Jesus Christ. Think about that. He turned from his logic and staked everything on Jesus Christ. This is contrary to culture. It is contrary to society. Society, culture, the world, they say, trust your gut. Trust your feelings. Trust your knowledge. Trust your logic. Peter's decision to launch out was purposed obedience. It was the result of a man who had an unmistakably hearing of Christ's command, and he calculated that God's power was greater than his limitations. You see, if we listen to shallow culture, that means we're going to give such attention to social media, to critics, the internet, talk shows, news shows, popular opinion, best-selling books, and oftentimes, you know what we're going to do with all of that? We're going to neglect the best news of all, and that's the Word of God. That's what we really need. At your word. at your word. It was the stake on which Peter hung his decision to launch out. We must come to a place where we believe and put into practice the knowledge that our God can do anything, even if we fail. You see, that knowledge, it will enable us to stay the course no matter the circumstances, distractions, or viruses surrounding us. Finally, this morning, when we do all that, you know what we're going to really do? We're going to step towards the spectacular. When Peter launched out, he didn't leave his half-washed nets on the shore. You see, something spectacular was about to happen. Launching out in the deep was only the first half of Jesus' command. Letting down the nets were just as important. Think about that. Sometimes getting out into the deep is one thing, but then doing what He says is the other. We can go through the motions of obedience sometimes, but if we don't believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, Hebrews 11:6, then we do not have real faith. You know what we need to do? If we're going to have the deep-rooted faith that we need to have, and we're going to take it before our God, then we need to expect spectacular things to happen. There are too often that we as Christians are praying, and we know we do that because that's what we're supposed to do, but we don't expect God to have spectacular things happen. I'm expecting God to take this virus away sooner rather than later. Because that's who God is. And enough of us will step out into the deep, and we will step out and launch our nets, and we will be true followers of Jesus Christ, then we need to get ready for rain. Noah, go build an ark. What is rain, Lord? Just build it. Boy, did it rain. Are we preparing ourselves? Is our faith there? Peter, after the success, after the spectacular, he fell down and worshiped because of that success. But I think it's interesting to note here, it wasn't about using the fish to pay his house off. It was about transforming him into a faithful follower. Please note that now. Jesus changed his life. But it wasn't because he didn't fall down because Jesus gave him all these fish to have a whole year's salary, maybe. It's because it changed his life spiritually. That's why he fell down. You see, that's why we launch out today. Not for our glory or to fulfill our quest for adventure. We launch out to catch men, to connect hearts with the invitation of Christ. We launch out to preach the gospel, to tell the broken, the shattered people that there is salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Launching out isn't about expanding our reputation or filling our ego. It's a decision to live fully for the glory of God by leading lost souls to Christ. Many Christians are eager to launch a new business, to launch a new career, a new hobby, or a new relationship. But few are surrendered to launch out in response to Jesus' commands. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Many Christians see the spiritual need surrounding them. Few have the faith to take action. Many have access to God's Word and sense the Holy Spirit's prompting, but not so many launch out at His Word. We can only be a fisher of men if you follow Christ with unrestrained obedience. If you pull up your anchor, untie your rope from the dock, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets. Today, how's your faith? Is it shallow? Is it deep? Is it weak? Is it strong? Come to the one who can change it all. If you have a need right now, together we stand and sing.